from your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to this month's Blood and Guts with my super excellent co-host, Jack Blood. If you're new to the show and you're not familiar with Jack's work, please get over to deadlinelive.info and catch up. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Maria. Great to be back with you on Blood and Guts. And yes, I've been telling my audience that we are unofficially running for president, running for the White House, interchangeable. We'll both take turns being the president of Vice and then the president, and that we are right-inable at this point. So I hope you don't mind that I just recruited you.
Hey, why not? Why not? We can't do a worse job than the morons that are in running now. I have to tell you that even though a lot of people are saying this is one of the most lackluster elections ever, I don't think I've ever gotten more pissed off watching either candidates than I have been lately.
Yeah, there's lots of fodder in there, and that's about all it is. So both the candidates, by the way, went to go speak at the Clinton Global Initiative yesterday and the day before. So they're all in the same club.
Oh, yeah. When I saw them both on stage with Clinton, I really wanted to heave ho. You know, I often wonder, I mean, is it legal for Clinton to run again for president?
No. Well, they'll change the law. I think he wants to be president of the world, which is what the Clinton Global Initiative is all about. So,
well, you know what's interesting? I did hear a commentator, not on, you know, my TV, but I watch TV when I'm on the treadmill at the gym. I watch The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, which is enough to make me want to vomit.
Yeah.
But, you know, watching that, you know, one of the commentators said that Bill Clinton would make an excellent president of France and some other country. And, you know, looking at that and, you know, Clinton wanting to be ruler of the world, I said, wow, he's even got commentators, you know, picking out countries for him to be president of.
He would have been Secretary General of the United Nations if they'd have let him. But he's got a lot of baggage, as you know. So, yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Ban Ki-moon, one of the Moonies, is allegedly in charge of the United Nations, which, as you know, is having their annual meetings in New York.
Right, and everybody's all pissed off, according to what I hear from the moronic commentators, who people I'd like to slap around, that, you know, he did the wrong thing by not having, you know, private meetings with all the world leaders like George Bush did.
Yeah, well, it is the first time in 20 years that that hasn't happened, and so it is a little bit suspicious, though. We know they're... He doesn't really get to talk to the leaders, I don't think. They keep him on a pretty short leash, and they have him ribbon-cutting on The View and you know, going and hanging out and drinking champagne with Jay-Z and going to football games. They keep fetching and stepping. You know, they keep him busy. He doesn't really get to talk to the leaders. That's for the big boys to do.
Right. Well, supposedly they wanted to make a big brouhaha over the fact he wasn't talking to Netanyahu. And they say that he had spent an hour on the phone with him beforehand.
Yeah. He's not as good. He's not as close of friends as Cousin Mitt is, allegedly. They're drinking buddies or whatever. I guess they drink milk and share magic underwear secrets. But Mitten is definitely a little closer to Bibi Netanyahu. And I don't doubt for a second that the right-wing Likud in Israel is backing Mitt all the way. But I just don't think it's enough. There is just too much money and too much organization. We're still betting on Team Obama to pull this out somehow. You know, I was watching The Daily Show last night with Jon Stewart, which is always pretty funny. And I think what's funny is that they covered the conventions, and they were covering the Republican convention as, you know, 2016, the road to Jeb Bush, which is exactly what I've been saying for quite some time. And then last night talking about how Obama's the luckiest guy in the world that he gets to run against Mitt Romney, no matter how bad things get, how many scandals there might be that are brewing out there, how bad the economy is, how pissed off people are, he's still running against Mitt Romney. It's just a race you can't lose.
Right. Well, you never know, though. You know, I mean, there's so much money involved in this. It really looks like whoever gets the most money is the one that wears the suit. You know, I was reading today, I got a news story that 78% of all this campaign money is coming through Citizens United.
Yeah, there's plenty of it, isn't there? We thought this would be a $1 billion election. It appears it's getting closer to $6 and $7 billion with all this tainted money coming in. Greg Palast has just put out a great new book all about this and covers it from both the Demopublican and the Republicrat side. I think what we've know here and what your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of is that when you get to the top of the pyramid, there really isn't any difference. They don't favor one party over the other. They favor policies, and that policy, the lead policy of which being, you know, continued control of the money, because you control the money, you don't care who makes the laws. Actually, I went out and did joined the national protest last Saturday against the Federal Reserve here in Atlanta, and we had quite a crowd out there. It went pretty well, and I got to meet a lot of the Atlanta patriots and anti-Federer, so all very good people. So there's people waking up all the time to that, but that's rule number one. Is, you know, may keep that money train going, and they've all got an interest. They usually back both candidates at that level.
Right. Well, you know, I read Greg's book, and I think it's a must-read for anybody who even considers voting this year. I mean, it's just an amazing book. What is it, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. I forget what it's, Ballot
Billionaires
Bandits.
Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, and Ted Rawl, right. The great Ted Rawl, does a cartoon, a comic book in the middle of it, so you don't even have to read the book, though. Reading Greg Palast is so fun and so easy that, you know, it is fun to read, and it's a small book. But if not, you know how Americans can be. You can give it to people, and there's a comic book in the middle that tells you all about how to fix elections.
Right. Well, maybe the comic book will be the draw. I liked it, too, myself. So I see you're already politically active there in your new state, your new home state.
Well, yeah, and I have to be. I have to, as you say, walk the talk. So I got to go put my body out there, and not only mine, but I brought my whole family down in front of Sector 6, the Atlanta Federal Reserve, and we directly called them out, and I did a little bullhorning. And then the 9/11 Truth Oprah Jones promoter showed up, and that's when I stepped away. I had to get out of there at that point. I'm not sure. This is the question I raise with my audience, and you know, I believe 9/11 Truth, you know, is very, very important. But I'm not sure mixing that with a Federal Reserve issue for people who have never heard about the Federal Reserve is really the best way to go about it. I'm just raising the question. I'm not trying to gatekeep anybody, but. But if you want to start screaming at people, go listen to Oprah Jones and 9/11's an inside job while we're there telling people who the Federal Reserve is. It just seems counterproductive. It seems like they're almost down there to scare people off.
Well, you know, that's my first thought, is to just dissuade people because 9/11 truthers have such a bad reputation. It's almost like they were deliberately there to make you look like everything you were saying was a conspiracy.
Yeah, and, you know, again, the two issues are good issues. It's the same thing. I talked about it on my radio broadcast when I went down to a Bush thing in 2006, and they were doing Bush's State of the Union out in front of City Hall in Austin, Texas. And then the next thing I know, I'm being lectured on abortion and global warming and everything else. And, you know, it just is mixing these issues is a big turnoff, and it's really important that when you're out there doing a direct action that you try to keep it as simple as possible, because not everybody lives in your bubble. They don't all know about all of this, and trying to dump it all on them all at once is usually, again, counterproductive. But I'm just, you know, thinking about it out loud.
Right. Well, you know, I have to agree. It's overwhelming. You can't just throw everything at everybody all at one time, because nobody's going to learn anything about anything. They're just going to walk away totally confused. But, you know, it's the same thing with 9/11. You know, since we've been covering this, you know, for what, 12 years, 11 years, you know, a lot of my listeners will say the same thing. How do you approach somebody? And I say, just pick out one or two different things about 9/11, because if you give everybody everything you know, they're going to get the deer in the headlights look. You know, then people have to do their own homework too. I mean, you know, I'm sure you saw Jesse Ventura on Piers Morgan.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean, he
I give him props there.
I mean, he was really good. You could see Piers Morgan was getting basically the shit kicked out of him. But because of that, you know, he did point out Building 7. Now, Building 7 all of a sudden is giving tremendous coverage to 9/11. You know, and just that one building alone, you know, I mean, the Pentagon hole alone is enough to talk to people about. And, you know, then you can slowly ease them into all the rest of the madness. Yeah.
Well, I'm a big believer in using the Socratean method of asking questions and getting people to come up with the answers by themselves. So, for instance, you know, well, maybe you can tell me how Building 7, 47 stories with core columns, fell right into its footprint at free fall speed without a plane hitting it. And if they're smart enough to repeat the propaganda from NIST that it was office fires, and I guess you could suggest that instead of bringing controlled demolition teams to blow up casinos and replace them with new big corporate casinos in Las Vegas, you can just light some office papers on fire and just watch the thing collapse. So, but again, that is important because most people don't even know there was a Building 7. So,
they conveniently left it out of the 9/11 commission report. So.
Yeah, but asking the questions and getting the prospect to come up with the answers, as Socrates did with his students, and then, of course, debunking or getting people to prove the government and media conspiracy theory of the 19 guys with box cutters, et cetera, on and on, is usually a good place to start with that. But again, you know, when I'm trying to educate people about the Federal Reserve, I just don't need people bullhorning and yelling 9/11 is an inside job, go listen to Oprah Jones, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's the same thing with bringing Ron Paul into it, because if people, like it or not, have an visceral reaction to Ron Paul, what they've been told about him, it's political. So I just think you want to keep politics away from your activism and try to keep it real simple. But we were very successful. You know, there were crowds of people coming into a big Foo Fighters Pearl Jam concert, which was right up the street from us here in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, for the Federal Reserve. So we really got to talk to thousands and thousands of people, and I'm sure a lot of them were thinking. You know, they spoke out, and people were honking their horns. So, you know, that's the great news, is that 10 years ago, talking about the Federal Reserve conspiracy, they're not federal, they have no reserves, they're controlling the business cycle. They full-on admitted that if there's, you know, too low of unemployment, they've got to do something to raise unemployment because they believe it brings inflation. You know, there's that. That's just admitted. But, you know, it's such an important issue. And over 10 years, it's gone from being some crazy anti-Semitic conspiracy theory to something that people just openly talk about, with quantitative easing and printing money out of thin air and, you know, making money and loaning money without any kind of collateral, which is the brotherhood system. And it's so important that people understand that. So the protest last Saturday on the 22nd in every 12 Federal Reserve sectors, I thought was pretty successful and was good to do, and we should do it even more often.
I agree. I think that was great. You know, what's interesting, when, you know, because, you know, I'm trying to be a little less active on Facebook because my eyeballs just can't take all these hours online. But I do love when people put up posters showing clearly that all the countries we invaded because they got rid of their central bank, because they weren't Rothschild banks anymore.
Yeah, and we transferred. The first thing we did in Libya when we were backing the rebels over there, the mercenaries, was we transferred the central bank over to Benghazi, and look at the rewards that we've gotten for it. They drug an ambassador through the streets, anally raping him all the way, which was a total inside job, by the way, and that guy had no idea. I'm sure he was being set up. And it's funny how, of course, I'm sure you've covered this on your show, how they're blaming it on some errant, badly produced YouTube, which, of course, the solution of which is to start censoring the media and censoring YouTubes and censoring artists. This is what's being called for, not only by a billion Muslims, allegedly, but by governments, intelligence agencies, and even the media. So there's their solution is, you know, shut the F up, and you're not allowed to criticize religions now all of a sudden, which I believe need the most criticism and the most constructive criticism for their massive hypocrisy. But, yeah, so they transferred the money over to the rebels. The rebels have gotten unruly, and that's what happens when you're trying to play both sides of the game and you own both teams. Sometimes they find out about it and revolt. Other times, that's just a very convenient initiative to keep people's eye off the ball and to have a completely meaningless foreign policy debate.
Right. Well, you know, even the, president of Libya came out today and said that action had nothing to do with that film. Now you have people saying the film was produced by the Mossad.
Well, we know for a fact that the producer of the film was a double agent and working for the American intelligence. You know, they caught him with some white-collar financial crime, and then I guess, according to the information we had, he also was caught making PCP. He was directly working for the federal government, the United States, and so if that was the cause of it, if the film, and this is what happens, this is just like Iran in 1953, Maria. Mm. They have fake radio broadcasts going throughout the Middle East saying, you get out there, look at this film, look what America thinks of you. You get out there and you get out in the streets and you go crazy.
Right.
And the people are doing it because there's some kind of a reward, or they're bored, or there's no jobs, or there's no future for them, and they got to blame somebody. They're pretty easy to manipulate at this point.
Well, no
I
less.
Guess we're going to see this continue
right.
on in various countries. But hey, watching the Arab fall, at least from my point of view, is somewhat entertaining anyway.
Well, you know, it seems to be spreading all around the world. But I will tell you, Jack, that, yes, I did have the story. The producer was an FBI informant, and I read that whole story. They basically made a deal with him on his big bank fraud. But and now they're supposedly in hiding. You know, to me, the answer would be simple. Here's what I'd do if I was president. I would just hand over the producer to those people. Done. It's done. Okay, next. That would be my attitude. But I think we were also sold a bill of goods on Ambassador Stevens, and I want to tell you why, Jack.
Okay.
I did see a film produced, it was just shot off somebody's cell phone camera, of the situation with Ambassador Stevens. First of all, if you look at his journal, he's saying he was on a hit list, which CNN released without the family's permission. Second of all, the film that I saw, these young people said that they were actually, they found them in the room. There was no security on the embassy. There were
right.
no ambulances. There was no emergency vehicles. And they saw that it was the ambassador, and they tried to pick him up and get him out of there to try to get him help because he was still breathing. Now, I saw that film, Jack. Remember, they do FX on all these films before they put him up, showing him being dragged through the streets. But according to the people that were there, they were actually trying to help him. And one guy said, my God, this is like the ambassador. But what they were really surprised about was the lack of protection at the embassy. And then when I did some searching on our Defense Department cuts, what nobody's talking about is we cut all the defense on our foreign embassies to save money. I say this thing was a total false flag.
Well, no, because these are the parameters of an inside job. You've got prior knowledge that it was admitted that they had, and that one of the theories I have is that prior knowledge went into the State Department with Hillary Clinton, and she didn't pass it along to Obama. I'm not giving him a pass here, but I think there was some shenanigans going on because she knows if he gets four more years, she's never going to be president. She's just not going to live long enough. She'll be too old by the time the switch in 8 years of Jeb Bush happens. And I think that there is, could be something going on there that is pretty intriguing, quite frankly. But the other thing is you have a stand down. So it was the same thing
right.
with Kennedy, prior knowledge, a stand down.
Mm-hmm.
And then next comes the cover up, and then you look and see who benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
And this could have been a tear in the fabric of the New World Order, two sides fighting against each other at the poker table, or it could have been all designed as a giant distraction. And then, of course, a need for more military, more spending on military, more security, and more loss of rights. Of course, you go right down the list. And you check the list, because at the end of the day, they admit, well, it wasn't the film so much that pissed off these people in Libya, if indeed this even happened the way they said. It was Osama bin Laden's driver that orchestrated the attack for Al-Qaeda.
Right.
And isn't that convenient?
Well, you know, as soon as I saw it, I mean, the first day, I told my listeners, this has the CIA's fingerprints all over it. And that, you know, I'm still standing to it, although everybody wants to blame it all on Israel, which I'm certain is not, they're not innocent. I'm sure we had a great part in what's happening there. It's almost like we want to continue to show the world, if you turn away our banks, you're going down.
I think there's one faction that trusts the Muslim Brotherhood and thinks they've got them paid and that they're going to be in line and they're going to go with those guys. There's another faction that wants to work for Israel no matter what, no matter how. In fact, I just before I got on the air with you today was watching, and I've got this at my website, a video, and I've taped this within my own recording studio and my own system to make it safe so they can't erase it. It's an Israeli lobbyist from AIPAC suggesting right out, right in your face, that a false flag attack will be needed to start a war with Iran, and he's justifying it.
Right.
So they're not even hiding this anymore. And it's appropriate to suspect that Israel's got a hand in this, but it really now begins to look like there are two definitive sides in this Mideast thing. Of course, both of them will go to the same end, but they have different methods of how to get there. And I think that the people that are for Mitt Romney really wanted this to happen in Libya. They wanted the Mideast to blow up in Obama's face so they could use it against him. But as I said, with Mitt Romney being the competitor here, Cousin Mitt, I really don't even know if it matters how much money he brings in. This whole thing is so designed for Obama to get those four more years. And I know David Icke has said the same thing. They need 8 years now per candidate to get the job done. And there's a lot of other things I can go into related to that, and I'm sticking to my prediction on this. But it does look like the Romney faction, the neocon faction, wanted to stir the pot a little bit here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, they were interviewing Romney yesterday as he got off a plane. Who the hell knows where he was? And I was looking at him, and, you know, the only good thing I can say about Mitt Romney is he has a really good voice, okay? His voice is good, but his words suck. But when I look at him and I look at Paul Ryan together, both men, you know, I noticed it more yesterday with Romney. He has no top lip, okay? They both have very tight, small lips, which if you read people's faces and you read their body structure, is already, you can't trust them, okay? And he's always blinking to beat the band, and, you know, that's a big tell for him. You always know when he's unsure, when he's lying, because he blinks like there's no tomorrow. And yet with all...
I think that's the same with most people. That's definitely a tell, though, since I'm lip challenged myself. I'm going to stick up with the people with the knit lips.
So, I don't think you have pencil lips.
My detractors would agree, though. I really think that it comes down to this: they couldn't find anybody whiter than Obama, and they had to go as white as they could. White wing.
White wing.
Because is there anybody? Forget the fake tan and everything. Is there anybody whiter than Mitt Romney?
I mean,
Mormon, such as Mitt Romney, a leader of the Mormon Church. Can you get whiter than that?
Because
I don't know if there's too many people whiter than Obama.
Only if you run a piece of paper, a paper doll. But yeah, that was the other thing.
Into all of this, but I know that that had something to do with it. Who can we find whiter than Obama? Get that Romney guy. He wants it.
Right, but you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt inside the Republican Party where they're saying nobody else wanted to run. They didn't have anybody better than him.
Well, look at the competition.
What do you mean, to go up against Obama?
I mean, look at the competition just in the race. You
had they were the scum of the earth.
You had a witch face from Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann. You had frothy Rick Santorum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at it. The competition was not there. Yeah,
right. But
the
you know, when you
guys, the more popular guys, the guys that with more populist leanings, and they didn't get anywhere near it. And that's why Jeb Bush and those guys just went to go back Romney. They want Obama to have four more years so they can come in. It just looks so obvious now.
Well, you know, I think the only trick card in this deck is going to be who outspends who. The money is going to make the difference. I really do believe that. Up till now, I was very sure that they're throwing this to Obama. But with the kind of money that Romney is making, you know, it'll be interesting. I don't want to say fun because I haven't been this infuriated about the news, Jack, in many, yeah. many years. But it'll be interesting to see how the debates go. Because I really think when Romney's talking off the cuff, he's an idiot. He makes George Bush look smart. And, you know, yesterday I started telling you when they were interviewing him, and which I couldn't get over, him and Obama, you know, with all the problems in the world, they're asking these questions about the football referee strike. And how the Packers, you know, I don't follow football, how they lost the game. You know, I didn't know those refs make $150,000 a year for a part-time job, not bad. And they offered them $189,000 a year, and it's not enough, obviously, to just stand.
They want lifetime benefits. It's a union, and they like what other unions have been doing. And guess what? Guess who? Look, I mean,
I got into this
whole football players making $20 million a year and what have you, and these referees wanting lifetime pensions and... You know, they're not dividing up the pie amongst themselves. They're dividing up the pie amongst the consumers. And what happens is, you know, you want to take your kid to a baseball game, you better have about $500.
Right.
And that's how it gets paid for. And that's a pretty good metaphor for how the rest of society works, if you ask me.
Right. But, you know, looking at all of them, you know, this is like the big topic of the day. What does Obama or Romney think about that? What's even more freaky is that Scott Walker, that scumbag out of Wisconsin,
yeah.
wants the union refs back in the game after him and the Koch brothers and Citizens United defeated the unions in Wisconsin with their money.
I saw his competitor was out talking about legalizing or decriminalizing marijuana the other day. So Scott Walker, if you remember, was the first Tea Party candidate and completely went back on everything he had promised. He's the most anti-Tea Party guy I've ever seen, and the excuse is they're in liberal Massachusetts. So I'm not going to go too much into that, other than I have seen a lot of stuff on Facebook using that picture of the two referees making different calls at the end of the game. The game is fixed. The same people own, the billionaires own both teams. The game is fixed. The league is fixed. It's entertainment, and people are betting money on it, much like they bet on companies and stocks on Wall Street. So there's those metaphors, but the picture says 1,000 words, and on Facebook, the big picture going on right now is the picture of the call saying, if you care more about this than this, a picture of a drone strike, then
right.
you know, you're really effed up in the head. You've really got your priorities out of whack. And maybe that's the problem. The distracted Americans, weapons of mass distraction, the bought and paid for state media, constantly keeping you from knowing and talking about and debating real issues.
Mm.
And it's not football.
Right. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, I hate to say it, Jack, I read so many books, sometimes it's hard to remember which was in whose book, but I'm sure you read Greg's book, too. But I think it was in Greg's book where he makes it very clear that the Tea Party was bought and sold to the Koch brothers. And as soon as they invaded it, that was that. Or it could be in Jesse Ventura's book. The two books cover similar topics, so it's hard for me to get.
Yeah.
But you know what? His book, Democrips and Republicans, even though it's so hard to say, and even Piers Morgan couldn't get it right. You know, I think it's the best book Jesse's put out.
Well, he's definitely focused and centered on something that's good, but, you know, me and I have different opinions of Jesse, so I don't even want to really talk about it too much. And,
all right, so let's
I'm
talk
sure
about...
He's the best spokesperson out there, but then again, he doesn't owe us to
right.
be our spokesperson. He has a right to speak out for himself, and so I...
But you got to get this, Jack. Jesse still has a shitload of fans because of his wrestling career. Okay, so he can relate to them like people want to relate to George Bush and have a beer with them. You know, they look at Jesse and they still see him as, you know, as this wrestler and movie star. They don't really see him as anything else or as a governor, an ex-governor. You know, they still see him, you know, as that star. So maybe he can appeal to the star-crazed, celebritized, blinded American.
Well, he's not speaking for me. He's speaking for himself, and I appreciate that. He has every right to do that. Again, I don't want to go into old scabs I got to pick on what he's
Everybody's
done.
Everybody's got
David
so many.
Ike about it, though. He'll,
I know.
He'll probably give you an earful.
I am kind
of. Or Willie Rodriguez or any of the other people that have been mowed over by the Jesse machine. Look, he's right, though, and the Tea Party was co-opted. I guess Occupy, they tried to co-opt it with the Democrat Party, but they wouldn't go along so much. They just gave him some money and let him fight over the chicken feed, the scraps that came from the master's table, and they disintegrated, and that's why they can't get organized and get back out in the streets. So they just killed them, called them terrorists. They used the – I mean, this is what happens. I want people to understand this. When the Democrat Party, the party in power now in the White House, couldn't co-opt the Occupy movement, they targeted them. They started going after them. And mm-hmm. one of the reports we just put out is that anyone with a cell phone at Occupy was chronicled. They were listed there. They took your cell phones that you had in your pocket, and they got your name. And then they went out and targeted the leaders in preemptive attacks ever since then. So they couldn't co-opt them as easily, so they went after them with the Obama Justice Department. And I'd be pretty pissed off if I was Occupy. The Koch brothers and the Republican billionaires like Dick Armey and the rest of them, they definitely did co-opt the Tea Party. They turned it into the, mm-hmm. the neocon tea, the neo-tea party. I can't remember what I used to call it. And they also co-opted the libertarians by going in and buying the Cato Institute, that being the Koch brothers. So mm-hmm. it's very frustrating that, you know, you do all of this work and you get to a point and then you watch all the people around you being bought off.
Right.
Selling out all around you and selling out the ideas and all the hard work you put into it. And I can understand how that disillusions people. It should just de-illusion you. Don't give up.
Right, right. Well, hey, you never sold out. I never sold out. It's not that we had a lack of offers.
Andy Williams is dead. He lived to 190 years old. A pretty rich life, don't you think?
Andy Williams, actually, believe it or not, I think he was 84. He died of some form of cancer today. But back in the day, Jack, because I am a decade or two older than you, I used to buy all his music. I mean, I really liked Andy Williams. He was what they called a crooner.
Yeah.
So I was.
TV show I watched when I was a kid too. I was forced to watch it.
And forced to
I
watch.
I knew there was a generation gap.
Forced to watch. But you know what? There I was buying Andy Williams albums and albums by the Kinks and the Stones in the same time period.
Wow.
So we had quite the variety of music. I think we were the transition generation. Anyway, Jack, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, here's a question for you. Should other countries be allowed to vote in our elections? Stay with us. Jack and I will be right back. I was doing regular radio, and a young man asked if I'd like to do an internet radio show. It wasn't anything like it at the time. People didn't even have speakers on their computers, and if they did, they barely knew how to use them. I said, it sounds like fun, so I'll try it for a few months. I started off DJing 60s music, and then whoop, Bush ran for president. Immediately, I became political to try and prevent the idiot king from getting elected. You see, as an environmentalist, I knew what a disastrous choice he'd be. Then I learned our vote means nothing when the Supreme Court decided to make him president. I learned about stolen elections. Then 9/11 happened, and I learned about false flags and how everything I ever learned in school was a lie. Woe was me. Well, now it's 13 years later, and I'm still doing internet radio. Why? So children and grandchildren everywhere may have a fighting chance for a future. Although I never had any desire to do radio, I'm still doing it for future generations. 13 is a lucky number, so come check it out if you're ready for the truth at maria.net.
If you resonate with it, by all means, pick a subscription of your choice and get the education you deserve. Real freedom always comes at a cost. Don't let it be your life or your children's lives. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Blood and Guts. Two people you're never going to hear quite the same anywhere else. Hey, Jack, by the way, my listeners loved me on your show because they said it was quite refreshing to hear me being interviewed for a change.
So. Yeah, and my listeners loved you on the show, including some pretty famous talk show hosts, and people really dug it. And so we got to get you up early as much as possible to get you on, and it is very refreshing. Well, everybody loves you wherever you go. You've got that charisma.
Thanks, Jack. Believe me, there's plenty of people that hate my guts on a regular basis.
I've never met one.
Oh, I've met quite a few. There's a long line, Jack. but it was fun. Hey, let's wait for the clocks to change. Look, everybody knows. I mean, you've known me for what, like 15 years now? I'm not an early morning person, okay? I'm still looking for the cure for mornings. So I'm okay till midnight, 1 in the morning, but 6 or 7 in the morning
is having a 9-year-old, so there's no choice in the matter.
But it was good. I wondered if, you know, some of your listeners might have found me a bit too weird, so I'm glad that.
No, you were great, as always, and I want to have you up more. In fact, I was doing talk show hosts all this week, and you kind of preempted that.
Oh, cool. I'm a preemption now.
Yeah.
Jack, before the break, I asked that powerful question. The reason being that what I'm seeing, even from German newspapers, is a holy fear of Mitt Romney becoming president. And their views on what they're calling the cranks and crazies of the new Republican Party. The world is terrified of these people. Now, since we invade everybody's country and we tell everybody what to do in their country, we force our money and our military aid down their throats and we affect the entire world, doesn't it make sense that the rest of the world should get a vote in who becomes president of the Gestapo country on Earth?
I hope you're being facetious.
Of course I am. But if you think about it, Jack, we really are. I hate to say it. We're like the worst country on earth in foreign policy. I mean, we crush other countries. I can understand them being afraid of, you know, the craziness that they were already terrified of George Bush. Okay. But looking at Romney and the Republican Party and what it's devolved to, taking us all back to the Stone Age where women's rights or, you know, marijuana and, you know, now we have a new thing. I don't know if you heard that they're now suggesting testing every adult in America for alcohol use. Okay. And I knew this was coming. And, you know, when people had no pity on, you know, smokers or, you know, the soda thing in New York or, you know, the calorie counts here. And now they want to test everybody for alcohol use. I know the beneficiary is only going to be the insurance companies.
Starting to believe that, first of all, it's a great way to control people, as we've seen with the whole drunk driving, you know, pre-crimes units out there and virtual checkpoints. But I've come to the understanding, and I want to get back to your question, but I've come to the understanding that China and India, where you have 2 billion people, they like to smoke and drink a lot, and there just isn't enough alcohol and cigarettes for us, too. So they're getting paid more to sell it to the Indians and the Chinese, to Eurasia. So now the party's over there. I find it extremely disturbing that people now who have a drink once in a blue moon or drink once or twice a week are looked at as alcoholics and losers. You know, all of my idols were alcoholics and losers. So I resent that completely. Getting back to your question, though, look, obviously we can't let foreigners run for president, be president, or vote for president. Unless they want to move here and get proper citizenship, they can take care of their own countries. Also, to think that somehow Mitt Romney and the neocons are going to be worse than the neoliberals with Obama and these guys is delusional. I know that the perception is that Obama's been killing people for democracy and for peace, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize, but he's actually bombed more countries than George Bush. And the plans to invade Africa and what they're going to do to Central and South America, from what I can tell, is going to be much, much worse than anything that George Bush ever did. So it isn't going to matter. Mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from, though. Should they have a say in it? Apparently they do, because you talked about how anybody can, you know, get in, put money into a political action committee or a super PAC, and they are. So apparently they do have a vote somehow. They're voting with their money in this election. And also, I want to point this out, which I said on Clyde Lewis's show the other night. He's great. Go check out Ground Zero Radio. He's now syndicated across the country. That perception that we're the bad guy is exactly what the New World Order, the World Order, is selling. They need to use us as an engine to destroy the last vestiges of national sovereignty in this world, and they've got to demonize us along the way. Otherwise, it's going to be a long haul for global governance. And I just, you know, I want to be really careful with the United States is doing this, 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 and that. It's the corporations behind the United States employing our troops as corporate security guards. One of the great things that Jesse said in that interview with Piers Morgan is you know, he talked about Smedley Butler and war being a racket and war profiteering. Right. And so those are the real guys. The central bank, the Federal Reserve, which is now the World Federal Reserve, the multinational corporations. These are the real people that you need to be mad at, not America.
Right. Well, you know, it goes back to that World War II vet I met at a party at the invasion, the beginning of the invasion of Iraq, when I told him how embarrassed I was of my country. And I'll never forget what that old guy said to me. He said, "You can be embarrassed of your leaders, but never be embarrassed of your country."
Well, I am embarrassed that the people aren't standing up, that the football game is more important than the drone attacks or the complete takeover of our money supply and all the rest of it. You know, I moved to Atlanta here, and I'm living under thick chemtrail clouds every day. That's more upsetting to me than many of the things that people are upset about today. They don't do anything. They don't do anything. If they do, they go show up real quick for something and yell, and then they go home and back to the television set, the opiate of the masses. So I am embarrassed a little bit that my country isn't standing up to its leaders and the corporations a little bit more, the international bankers and whatnot. But I think that is that's changing, that's evolving. And just as we're seeing more and more people find out about GMO food and what's in the water and what's in the air, I mean, they're having a real hard time keeping a lid on the truth.
I know. Well, it's interesting because, like I say, you know, I went from being a crazy conspiracy bitch, you know, that's what I was accused of, you know, 13 years ago, to now the same people asking me for advice and help. Okay, so now I went from a crazy conspiracy bitch to a rocket scientist genius. But I can see the difference. You know, Jack, you and I, we've been doing this for so long, and people really don't know. Sometimes our souls just get tired. But we keep doing it, and now we are seeing the results of it. So many more people are aware of all these issues we've been talking about for years. And I really believe it was us, the online community, that shifted that tide.
Yeah, I'm not taking any credit, but I'll tell you, getting in and helping one person at a time understand that something is wrong and who is to blame and how to fix it is really all I can ask to do, and I'm pretty honored to be able to do it. You know, I just had, and we're still continuing with what I call a blood drive, a blood bomb. We spent $4,000 moving to Atlanta and getting resituated here so that I could put my kid in a decent school, and it hurt us pretty bad. So we had a huge fundraiser, and I, at the same time, I got an offer, just as you predicted I would, from a big radio network for a behind-the-scenes job, and I'm weighing the two. And the votes came in, and people voted to keep me on the air for the most part, and we did okay. You know, we're able to survive here for another month or two. So, you know, as long as I can scrape together a couple of nickels and pay a couple of bills, I'm going to keep doing this. And so I'm committed. I've taken enough out of this life that I have to give back here at this point.
Look, I understand, Jack, but I also understand you have a family to support. So sooner or later, you have to do what you have to do because, you know, that's really the truth of it. Most people out there are, you know, they're working. They're supporting their family. You know, they might be listening to you or me or whoever. But a lot of them, you know, they're okay making a living. And I think they think somehow magically we're making a living too out of thin air. And, you know, they've got to help us or they're going to lose us. And that, you know, and I've told you that, Jack, and I love you. God knows I love you and I love the work you do. But I, you know, my advice to you is still going to be the same. You have a family to support, you know. For me, it's just
me. Well, and we are, but that's the thing. I don't need, you know, a mansion, a McMansion and a glass-bottom boat and four cars and big-screen TVs. So it's easy, much easier for me to do that, you know, and I don't ask very much. Mm. And like I said, to me, it's an honor and a privilege to do what I do every day, not because I want people to look up to me, I want to be famous or rich or anything, because I feel like I'm putting something positive out into my community and out into the world and then further to the universe. So, you know, I am forced to act in a positive way to keep the balance, and that's where I'm at now. When the time comes and the calling comes where, you know, I feel that it's more beneficial not to do it, then that's where we'll go. And I've certainly put enough time in to deserve a retirement party at some point. But, you know, not now, not as bad as things are now. You know, the fact that we're able to reach people in a way that others can't is invaluable to them, and I feel like I left them holding the bag. So as long as the support comes in for us, as long as people support our work and see the value and give value back to us, keep us going, we're going to keep going.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about community. Let's jump over to New York City subway system, where now some Jewish charity has sponsored these billboards throughout the subway systems about civilized man versus savage man, which is, you know, somehow got past the MTA, and they actually started slapping up these insulting billboards throughout the subway system. And I think they started putting them up this week, and New Yorkers are already cursing words all over them, racist and all kinds of shit, tearing them down. Obviously,
good,
they can't pull
the advertisement then. I'm happy with that. That's public property. So,
hey, obviously, you know,
it's definitely not appropriate. There are freedom of speech issues involved here because it's speaking for everybody. But if that's the message, that we're going to say vile, nasty things about, you know, 1/6 of the world's population or what have you, and the people are revolted by it and tear them up and spit on them and piss on them or whatever, then good. I like that message.
Well, I said
that shows who we really are.
Well, I said, well, they picked the wrong people when they put that shit up in New York. I mean, don't these people realize, you know, I grew up in New York City 60 years ago, Jack.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was no prejudice then. I mean, you had to blend. There was no – you didn't have a choice. You had to blend. You had to accept everybody or you'd be knifed by the end of the day, okay? So, you know, I remember running home from school most days because there was always some kind of rumble going on. So I grew up basically a West Side Story. And, you know, New Yorkers are that way. You know, they're very protective about each other. I know that sounds crazy because people can't imagine it because there's so many people there.
But you're so close in proximity to the other person. It's almost unnatural. Don't let me get into all that in Manhattan because I live there too. But you're so close to the other person that you get to know them and you feel them and you realize that, wow, here's somebody who's a Muslim or who's Arab or Persian and they're really great. They have a big heart and, you know, they're with me. They're just like me.
Right.
So it is revolting when you see these propagandist attacks on Muslims. Listen, we hear it every day on the news. You know, when you listen to a talk radio station here in Atlanta, there are no liberal talk shows. There's no one sticking up for,
Atlanta,
for these people.
Still in the deep
They're all
south.
Kill them all. They're going to kill us if we don't kill them first. I mean, the genocide that is suggested on these massive Clear Channel stations on a regular basis, it's appalling. So when are the people going to start tearing that down and pissing and spitting on that?
Well, you know, you got to be taught to hate, and I think those people are so indoctrinated from so many, you know, decades, maybe centuries of hatred and prejudice that I don't know. I mean, you'd need the knife of the century to cut through that garbage. Anyway,
well, they've tried it and it's failed. because I think that's the design. Divide and rule, divide and rule, divide and rule. And as long as we keep falling for it, they're going to keep using the same playbook. And by the way, look at the football game.
Right. As if that matters. I'm like, the whole world's on fire. And how much time are they wasting on this news show talking about this crap?
My God, Congress investigates steroid use or, you know, right. some other sports issue constantly, whether it's baseball or football or, you know, what have you, scandals with referees in basketball getting paid off. The whole thing is entertainment, folks. Come on.
Right.
Show up. Does Congress have anything better to do, Maria, than to decide who was using steroids or not?
We need to get rid of all of Congress. I really believe we need to get rid of all of them. They're all overpaid, bloviating idiots who spend more time on vacation accomplishing the most hated segment of society. I don't even think they – I think they're in the single digits now of approval ratings in the country.
Oh, but people approve of their own guy, and that's the problem. So once you get in, the only way to replace – a congressman is at the local level, and you've got to do. In fact, they're all up for vote here in November. You got to do it. I mean, is the Republic Crips or the Dema Bloodikins, whatever it is, are they going to win? Yes,
so
they're going to win the House. They're going to win the Senate. They're going to win the White House unless you do something. So, yeah, that's the problem. There's 12% approval rating of Congress, but it's always the other guy. It's not your guy. Your
right.
guy brings home the pork or whatever. Your guy, you know, is having coffee with you. Your guy's the good guy, and that's the problem.
Well, they won't be bringing home the pork anymore because they're predicting a bacon shortage next year. That's the only pork they're going to bring along are their wives, who usually look like Petunia Pig. All right, let's go back to Texas. Since you left, holy shit, I've gotten three so upsetting stories this week out of Texas, Jack. First of all, we had the guy in the wheelchair, the armless, legless guy who was shot because he was waving a pen in the only arm he had by a cop. That story sickened me beyond belief. The other one was the school spanking laws in Texas, where this pretty, you know, kind of sexy young teenage girl was spanked by her male teacher. Okay, and I can't believe they even allow these laws in any state, because if anybody ever touched my kids, that'd be the last touch they'd ever do in their life. And God, what was the third one? There was another horrific story like that. And, you know, I look at those stories, Jack, and I'm like, okay, two young 20-something-year-old white cops go into a home, an elderly home for the mentally challenged. There's a man who's got no one arm, one leg. And they called because he was making a ruckus of some sort, all right? What is he really going to do with half a body in a wheelchair, Jack? And the cops just shoot him dead because he was waving a pen in his hand. They thought it was a weapon.
Now, shoot first, ask questions later, right?
Right, and the guy, oops, happened to be black. Let's not leave that out. And if they don't know the difference between a pen and a weapon, and even if, say he was holding a gun in one hand, he didn't have a second hand or arm, what was he really, where was the threat? Now I got
Hey, listen, they've got a great group in Austin called the Peaceful Streets Project, and they're videotaping the cops all over the place and raising quite a ruckus, and the police aren't very happy with it. In fact, right before I got on the air, they just shot somebody else on I-35 about a mile from my old house.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's regular business as usual in Austin and in Texas. And funny thing, I move here to Atlanta where there's supposed to be all this, you know, big city and all this crime and racial divisions, and it never happens here. It's not happening here. It happens there every 2 seconds.
Well, I don't know. You must have too many yahoos there or sociopaths on the police force. Was that also where they dragged that 77-year-old lady out of her car and threw it to the floor?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what the hell?
That's a long story because I actually, the guy that was overseas supervising that whole routine is a guy we helped elect. There you go. That's why politics sucks in general. Because those guys will turn on you once they get in.
Oh, yeah.
At least the people are doing something about it, and I'm happy they are. But it just doesn't seem like the cops are backing off at all. And they're going to have the excuse. The FBI is looking into that story, by the way.
I saw that today.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
Right.
I mean, we hear this all the time. I was threatened. We thought that, you know, he might have had another weapon or a gun, and we just shot him. That's what we did, and we're defending ourselves. They put the guys on administrative leave. That's paid leave. Mm. Once it dies down and blows blows over, they bring the guy back. If there's a lawsuit, guess who gets to pay for it? You and I, not the
right.
cop. Not the people that actually do this, but us.
Right.
We get
well, look, you know, if that video and that story didn't go viral on the net, the FBI wouldn't give one hot damn about investigating it.
Well.
You know, but then I had a story this morning, you know, and I got to tell you, I don't know, Jack, how much more of this idiocy I can honestly take without my head blowing off. But there was a story this morning, and I blame it on Mitt Romney, okay? I blamed it immediately on Mitt Romney, where this lady who is got food stamps, and the store manager humiliates her in front of the store as basically a bloodsucker on society, which you know we got from Mitt Romney's little speech on the 47%
right.
and all the food stamp shit. And then they want to make it up to her after humiliating her. They want to make it up to her with a $15 gift certificate to the store. Meanwhile, the bottom line is this woman is working. She's been on full-time dialysis. She's got kids. You know, she's got a million and one reasons to be on food stamps. And I looked at that story and I got so upset. I can't even tell you. And I said, this is because of Romney. And you know what? It's like when Bush was president with all his preemptive bullshit wars, okay? Well, now you have the president of Iran saying they may preempt on Israel. Well, how do you say no to them when we did the same thing? And if our leaders set these disgusting examples, think about it. That stupid store manager probably visualizes himself as being part of the 1%. He's an idiot, okay? And he's repeating the idiocy of a man who's making me pine for George Bush, okay, in the idiot department.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
for me.
Listen, then people, the community needs to boycott that store and put that guy out of business by not shopping there if they disagree. But we saw this whole thing play out with Chick-fil-A here, what was it, 2 months ago, and there are plenty of people that would agree, the 47% or the 53% or whatever that agree with Mitt Romney to keep that guy in business. And obviously it's his business. He has a right to his opinion as well, so we shouldn't forget that. I'm going to go really pure freedom activist libertarian on you. Fact of the matter is we pay into this system. And if we want to take a little bit out now and again, I'm not talking about the scammers that are hooked on assistance and are scamming the system, because I've met plenty of them. Trust me, they're out there. But not to mention billionaires who are getting welfare and corporations that are getting welfare and strung up. We never hear about those guys. But I think there's a better way than food stamps. Sure. Does this guy have a right to say what he said? Sure. Do people have a right to get back at that guy somehow? He's opened up this can of worms. They sure do. So, but, you know, we pay into this system. They're stealing money from us at the point of a gun, redistributing our wealth. I don't even have any, and it's being redistributed to somebody else, I guess.
Right.
But we have a right to take it out once in a while. And if we need help with something and there isn't a better system, which there should be, then by all means, we have a right to do that. And you, if you're listening to this out there and you disagree with it, you know, I hope nothing bad happens to you and you need to get some unemployment money at some point, or you need some help. That day's a coming for you, because nobody will be immune from this.
Well, you know, what was beautiful is in the story that I got this morning, and I did post it on my Facebook, and anybody listening, by now I'm sure you know, just go Facebook.com, Maria Hella, can't miss me. They did a test because of this, and they had a video of it, and they used actors. And the other people online did not know the woman who ran out of money on her food stamp card was an actress, and that the girl checking it out was an actress. And the lady doesn't have enough money, and she's got her baby food and whatnot on the counter, because they wanted to see what would the typical American's reaction be. Would they get pissed off, standing online, you know, this, that, the other thing. And the bottom line was, here's this woman with almost tears in her eyes, while the cashier is telling her she's, I don't know, $15 short or whatever on her food stamp card. And in seconds, Jack, over and over, you see the people online, not the top 1%, as you know, those 47% of useless Americans, saying, how much does she need? Here you go. Happily paying it for her. I can't tell you how many times I've done that myself, Jack.
Yeah, I love that. Boy, I love that. And, you know, last Christmas, people were putting money in the department stores for people that paying off the things they'd had on layaway, helping out their neighbors. And I really advocate that kind of a system. Now, when we get to be president, you earlier said what you would do if you were president in one deal, and when it's my turn to be president that week, what I'm going to do is I want to turn all the food stamps and all of that undignified help that people get and always have to feel so bad about into paid housing and food storehouses, okay? So if you want to go, you know, go to the food, scam the food storehouse, giant food banks, because people are very good and will donate, and you want to sell that food for drugs or booze or whatever, then good luck. It'll be a little tougher for you. So it's not that I'm uncaring. I just don't like the whole food stamp method because there's a string attached to it, much like how according to what he just said at Clinton Global Initiative, he wants to give foreign aid as long as they do what we tell them to do.
But
it's the same thing here at home. But let's cut the corporate welfare. Let's cut the military welfare first and all the other big fat cat welfare.
Absolutely.
And then see what we got left and see where we're at. And let these people, if they need help, get it in a dignified way and not with strings attached.
Jack, I'm loving this week on, week off president thing with you. Maybe we should start our own country.
Well, Jack, by committee.
Jack, thanks so much for joining me today. It's always great talking with you and having you on the show. And in case I never say it often enough, I really appreciate you, Jack.
Well, and I love being here, and we can't wait to have you back on the Jack Blood Show. By the way, you want to find out what that's all about, go to deadlinelive.info. If you like our show and what we do, contribute to us and keep us on the air. Thanks, Maria. I love you. Stay bold.
You too, Jack. Bye.
Bye.
Jack Blood, one of a kind. Gotta love him. I like that idea, though. Maybe my imagination now will start going wild on Maria for president. What would I do? Anyway. You know what? I really think that the typical or the real America is the last story I said. We're happy to help each other, and I've said it for years. Don't bother with all these charities that pay the big bucks to their CEOs. Do a one-on-one. You see somebody in need, help that person. Do it one-on-one. You'll feel like $1 million, that's for sure. And that's the American way as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I'll see you guys tomorrow when I'll be spouting out more of the news. So thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.